All right, it's me, and I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
The Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. So today what we're going to be doing, we're going to be a lot of news catching up because once again it's been another busy week or so in the lives of the Gallagher brothers. And also we're going to be doing the Oasis A to Z breakdown of Carry Us All. So a couple of episodes ago I had the conversation with Colin Hassard about Oasis and religion, and we did touch on Carry Us All quite a lot there, so we've kind of covered off all the stuff about the lyrics, but we've had a fantastic contribution in from Imran Khan, aka Khan Might Say, who's broken it all down, and we'll be touching on your comments, etc. Plus, also, as we talk about the news, the big news in the world of the Gallaghers this week was Liam, I suppose, playing Glastonbury. And one of the biggest news things to come out of that was this dedication to Lauren from the You, Me and the Big C podcast that BBC Five Live do. And it's one of those things where, you know, that was such a big deal when that happened. For those that don't know, Lauren's a cancer survivor. She does the a cancer podcast for BBC Five Live. And and Liam gave her a shout out, a dedicated slide away to her. And it was quite a big deal. And I was going to cover it as part of this general news. But then I remembered that actually I know a few people that work for Five Live, including Will Cooper, who's a big producer over at the podcast side. So I spoke to Will and he put me in touch with Lauren. So we'll be hearing from Lauren shortly on how that all came about. Yeah, other than that, there's a few bits and pieces in the world of news. Probably the biggest thing is that Liam's new song, The River, dropped a few days ago now. I heard a little bit at the start, and let's have a little bit more. Get out of your clouds of weed. Get out of your time machines. You can say that the sleeper has awakened. So I really like this song. I think it's got a great stomp to it. It's sort of similar to Shockwave in that sort of stompy 70s glam sort of style. I don't think it's quite as catchy as Shockwave. What I really like about it is quite dynamic. There's quite a few changes in it. I like the way it sort of chops and changes into those guitar chords before you go into the chorus. I think that works really well. And then the scream and shout, and you get the echo on the shout. I think that sort of, it's quite gimmicky, but I think there's nothing wrong with gimmicks in pop music. That's what it's all about, really. And it sort of reminds me of, the Sweet blockbuster, where that's got kind of echoes on the voices and things. And that's very much that same sort of 70s glam sort of sound. Does anyone know the way? There's got to be a way to blockbuster. The one thing I think is missing in it, though, is right at the end when he goes down by the river. I really think it should just come back in again. He should just shout that line again and then maybe have a big clanging guitar chord to end, like similar to like what The Who would do. You can imagine if it was a Who song, that's how it would end. Scream and shout. If you're gonna work this out, change comes when the water falls. I've been waiting for you to come down by the river. But anyway, no, I think it's a really good song. I think he's definitely two for two so far from what we've heard from the album. If you chuck Once in there as well, we've only heard a minute and a half of Once, but that does sound great as well. So yeah, all very exciting. Very much looking forward to that album coming out later this year. So we will catch up on the other bit of news shortly, but let's cross over now to my interview with Lauren, talking about how the whole Liam Glastonbury dedication thing came about. Hello, is that Lauren?
It's me, love. How are you?
I'm very good. I know that voice.
Oh, it's a very croaky post-Glastonbury voice.
Is it? It's understandable. How was Glastonbury anyway? It was pretty standard. Nothing too exciting happened, though.
I mean, it was the most boring Glastonbury ever, to be honest. I can't wait to come home.
No, well, it's pretty amazing. Do you want to take it back to, like, you know, your history with Oasis and Liam? So was it like Oasis were a big band for you growing up, basically?
Oh, they were a huge band for me growing up. I had my Oasis posters all over my wall. It was Liam and Jamie Redknapp for me as a youngster. They were my two, they were my poster boys. And their music has just always been played in my house. It's always been part of my life growing up. Whenever, like, the albums, I play at least once a week.
Wow.
One of their albums in my house, and or a playlist on Spotify, they're there. Slideaway's always been one of my favourite songs. It's like my favourite Oasis track. Everyone's always got one other name, mine's Slideaway.
Yeah.
And then even when Oasis broke up, which obviously I know loads of people talk about the time when Take That broke up and how they were like, oh my God, when they were younger. When Oasis did it, I was like, how do I live?
Really?
What do we do now? Yeah, because they're just a moment in time, really, aren't they? And
yeah.
Like, especially when you go to any Oasis, like, I see Liam every time he's in London, and I've actually been up to see him up north and stuff as well. But when you're at one of their gigs, it's just a moment in time. It feels like I've been at a football match all the time, because you're all just like, there's the hype, and you just lift each other, and the love for him is unbelievable. He's a god amongst men. So
yeah,
I've always been a massive fan, and yeah, I don't know how to, like, he's my person.
Yeah.
In fact, when I met him last year, I had the awkward moment where I said, oh, can I have a picture with you? He's like, yeah, of course. And I unlocked my phone, and my screensaver was 1990s Liam.
No
and
way.
Like, oh, yeah, yeah. And he was like, oh, that's a good picture of me, that. I was like, mm-hmm. That's not embarrassing. But yeah, I like, he's my dude.
Yeah,
he's the best. Yeah,
oh, that's fantastic. It's funny, just going back to like them splitting up in 2009, because I was asking about that, because obviously we're going to have the anniversary of it in August.
Yeah,
and I'm going to do a special episode on that, and so I was asking people about how they felt about it, and I did a little poll on Twitter, because I was actually looking back at my old, like, Facebook posts, because it was in the point where, you know, I never kept a diary, but I was quite busy on Facebook back then. I was like, what did I think about it? And at the time, I personally was like, yeah, fine. I kind of knew it was going to happen. You know, we sort of knew it was coming, I think. And so I wasn't bothered. But I think the reason I wasn't bothered was they'll probably get back together in a year. You know what
same.
I mean?
Yeah. I thought same.
Yeah, but it just didn't happen.
Yeah, I know. And I had this weird moment where I basically was... I had tickets to see them in 2009 at V Festival. I also had tickets to see them at Wembley. But me and my boyfriend at the time, we decided, oh, do you know what? We're going to extend our holiday. We're going to have a nice 2 weeks away. We've seen them at V Festival anyway, so it's fine. And so I never got to see Oasis.
Oh.
I never saw it because they broke up. And I was like, what? So I think that's probably why I've just followed Liam with like this mad enthusiasm, because I'm like, we just don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. We can never not take up an opportunity to see the geezer.
Absolutely.
But yeah, that for me was heartbreaking when they pulled out of that, because I was like, I'm finally going to see them, and then it just didn't happen.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, do you want to just tell the people who are listening to this what is Me, You and the Big C, how that came about, and how you're involved in it?
Yeah, sure. So, You, Me and the Big Seeds podcast on BBC Five Live. And it's a podcast that I always say is my little summary is talk about cancer like it's EastEnders. So it's myself, my co-host Deborah James, and now Stephen Bland, who is the widower of our lovely Rachel Bland, mm-hmm. who died last year in September. And Rachel is a Five Live presenter, and she herself, Deborah, and my other co-host, and I used to talk. We talk about our cancer experiences on social media. We talk about it quite candidly, quite openly, with a bit of humour thrown in there, but quite real and just as it is. And it just seemed like a nice little trio. And she just said, "Let's try and do a podcast about this and see what happens." And we just never ever expected that it would kick off the way that it did. And we every single week we just talk about issues affecting those around cancer, and it can be something to do with treatments one week. So we'll look at chemotherapies, and then sometimes we'll like get the friends and family in and we'll ask them about their experiences. It's a very special place. To be honest, it's a bit of a sanctuary for me. I think it's been a bit of therapy for all of us. But yeah, it's doing good things, which we're really, really proud of.
No, that's absolutely brilliant. And yeah, I mean, I'm friends with Will Cooper, who's he's an old school friend of mine who's up in Manchester, and as I've been up to see him a few times, and he's come on the podcast actually. And so I remember when Rachel died, it was really a big thing for him and all the whole community up of you guys up there, and it was really tough. But you know, that's it. If you kind of accept that, well, if this is you know, it's not like a cancer podcast where it's a bunch of people that don't have cancer talking about it. You know what I mean? If you're gonna actually do a podcast about it, well, you want to have people that are going through it and experiencing it, and that's really important. I think that's why it's caught on so well, and why it means so much to people.
Yeah, we're really proud. I don't think we just can't believe that one of the top podcasts on the BBC is a podcast about cancer. That was the conversation people just weren't having. You know. So yeah, it's really, really special. We're really, really, really proud.
No, absolutely. It's funny. It's kind of probably my two favourite episodes of my podcast have been, you know, I've interviewed people that were in the band and things like that. But we interviewed one guy, Brandon, who was who's a guy in California who had testicular cancer and got through it through Oasis. And that's probably like one of the most downloaded episodes I've ever done. He's not like a famous guy. And another guy had brain cancer, and it was actually singing. Because with this type of brain cancer, he'd lost a lot of his memory that helped talking, but actually it was singing he could do, because it was using a different part of the brain. And so he sort of retaught himself to do a lot of things through singing, and through singing Oasis songs. And so actually, like, Oasis kind of got him through brain cancer, and he's now clear of it, which is absolutely
amazing. Isn't it?
Yeah.
But, the power of music, isn't it? The power of music.
Absolutely,
man. I would think, because you're either a music person or you're not, aren't you? Like, I think music moves you or it doesn't. And for me, music definitely does move me. And whenever I put on an Oasis track, a Liam track, pardon me, it just makes me feel good. And it makes me feel, you know, different songs for different days, I guess. I'm one of the presenter's friends, on Five Live, Sarah Brett Show, and you have to do a ring walk song.
Yeah.
And when people put us on, so when I first went on, my first one was Force of Nature, actually. And she was like, why is that? Because I just feel like when it comes on, walking down the street, I feel like I'm peacocking a bit. I'm like, yeah, we do anything. And then the one that we had before the show we were on before I went to Glastonbury, I did Slide Away, because I was like, I'm putting it out to the universe.
Yeah.
I'm putting it out and hope that Liam gets the message. So I still can't believe that he did. I actually cannot believe.
Well, let's just pick up on that. So you met him, what, at Stand Up to Cancer a couple of years ago now?
I met him at Stand Up to Cancer last year.
In
November last year. I was doing Stand Up to Cancer, Deborah and I, from the podcast, to talk about the podcast is and what it's doing, and talk about our lovely Rachel. And I had got wind that Liam was on the bill. So when I arrived, I was like, just a quick one. Is Liam still here? Because I'm a big fan and I would love to meet him. And she had a look through the run order. She went, do you know what? He's down in the pre-record at 11:30. So I think he's already done it today and gone. And I was like, all right, okay, cool, no worries. I went, it wasn't meant to be. And then I went backstage where they get you all mic'd up, bearing in mind about to go on live TV. So not a drink has passed my lips, alcoholic-wise, because I was like, I just need to be on form. Get into this little room and there's a mic pack with masking tape on it and said Liam. So I thought it was from early on in the day. So I was like, oh my God, is that Liam's? And then I was like, oh, thank you. I took a picture. She's like, do you like Liam? Showed the bird my screensaver. I was like, he's the one. She was like, he's here. Do you want to meet him? And I went, pardon? At that point, honestly, I was like, oh my God, what do I do? Then my colour was like, you were right. She went, all the colour went from your face. You were like, what? Then I went and helped myself to some wine because I was like, I can't do this without a drink. And she's like, I can't promise anything. Let me go speak to his management. And in my head, I'm like, that's Debbie.
Yeah.
She's just going to speak to Debbie.
So she
came back in. She went, I've had a word. I'll see what they can do. And I literally sat and watched that door for 10 minutes. And I didn't know what to do. And next minute, there was a crowd of people came in. In comes Guyver, right behind Des Liam. I remember Debbie. She was so lovely. Yeah. And she was talking to me, really nice, but I couldn't focus because I was just seeing behind her. And I was like, what do? This is mental. I kind of went into a bit of a panic. I was a bit overwhelmed. And I was like, I'm really sorry, Debbie. And I went, Liam, I'm a massive fan. I was like, it's such a pleasure to meet you. Thank you for taking the time to come in here. And he went, no, it's no pleasure. And then he shook my hand. He went, hang on a minute, I know you. And I was like, yeah. I was like, what? He's like, yeah, you was on first dates. I saw you on the tour. And I started asking loads of first dates questions.
Wow.
I was just like, is this happening? Is this actually happening? Liam asked me all these questions about first dates. Did you really not know that Geezer was going to be your mate? Did you really? I was like, what the flipping hell was going on? And it was a mad 15 minutes. But it was really surreal because it just, they always say don't meet your heroes. And I'll be honest, I always wanted to meet Liam. Obviously, what fan wouldn't want to meet someone they idolise and think the world of? And you get a gist of the kind of man he is. I think he's brilliant, I think he's funny, but you also worry because the way media portrays him, it's scary to meet people you really love, because in case they just let you down.
Yeah.
And he just didn't. And we sat there for 15 minutes and he was kind, patient, chilled. I felt like I'd known him for ages. It was the weirdest 15 minutes. I didn't feel anxious. That all subsided really quickly. And we were talking about what I've been through, the cancer stuff. And he was like, you're right now. I was like, yeah. I said, I'm 1 year clear. He's like, oh, it's brilliant, mate. Give me a hug.
And then
I was like, are you in Glastonbury? And he's like, well, I hope so. I've never been asked. It'd be rude not to. And I was like, all right. And I told him that last time I did Glastonbury, I went to Glastonbury 2016. Shortly after that, I came back, found out I was ill. Managed to get tickets before I started chemo, and I said I will get back there cancer free next year, and I made it back. I made them push my radiotherapy back a week so I could go, and he was at the other stage at the time. It was a big gig for him being back at Glastonbury, doing his own thing, and I was with all my best mates, and we got right down in the mix in the front, and he plays Guide Away, and I don't know, like, obviously it's one of my favourite songs, but I just went to pieces. I think he just got very emotional. I thought, I've made it back and I'm here and I'm with my best friends and life is going to be lived and it's a moment and Liam's right there and he's singing my song and it was just phenomenal. And I told him that. And again, he was like, oh my God, give me a massive hug. He goes, I tell you what, then he goes, if we make it back, both make it back to Glastonbury, Slide Away's for you.
Brilliant.
And I never forgot that. And I was like, do you know what? I'm just going to jog his memory. So I tweeted him a couple of times a week leading up to Glastonbury. Didn't think he'd see it at all. I like did it as like a, you don't ask, you don't get, but I don't expect it.
Yeah,
so when it actually happened, I still cannot believe it happened.
And he says it so clearly as well, because sometimes when he introduces things on stage, he kind of mumbles words and it's hard to hear. This was so clear. Mm. You know, oh, it was brilliant. It was a magic moment for me. And I you know, obviously, I don't know how the hell it would have been for you.
Hey, so last year I met this lovely lady and she wasn't too well. And she said, if you do Glastonbury, dedicate a song to me, right, if I get there. So I said, all right, well, I'm here, and hopefully you're here. This one's for her, she's called Lauren, and it's called Slide Away. Enjoy yourself.
know that he doesn't do a lot of stuff like that. I know
no,
like,
very
he doesn't
rare.
Dedicate a lot of things. So I was just really in shock. I really didn't expect it. Like, the back of my head, because of the things that have happened in since I've been ill, and like amazing things have happened with award wins, and like just even getting cancer in the first place at 31 is like low risk, what are the chances? So I just never rule anything out in life anymore. And in the back of my head, I was like, wouldn't it be amazing? Because that is peak living. Mm. That is living your best life to the maximum. I've reached peak living my best life. And it happened. And it was weird because we didn't hear the... You know what it's like in the crowd. It's so loud, especially Liam's crowd. And all I heard was, this song's for her. She's called Lauren. And all of us just all went, oh, like... Like, none of us could speak. We were like, what? And then I think everyone around me in the crowd kind of got wind that it was me. And then I was up on shoulders and everyone was like rubbing my head. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a real special moment. And it was only really the next couple of days I kept replaying the video that someone had sent me when I heard what he'd actually said.
Yeah.
And I just kept replaying it. And I just keep crying.
Yeah.
I still can't believe it.
Well, the BBC have clipped it out as well, haven't they? They put it on their social medias and things like that as well. So, you know, this is, it's not just one of those things that happened once. Like, if he'd done it in the Prague gig or whatever, this is on
it's
TV.
Pyramid stage at Glastonbury.
On stage at Glastonbury.
Pyramid stage. Pyramid. Mate. Glastonbury's my happy place. Glastonbury's my place. I honestly can't get my head around it. It's mad. And you know what? I just know in my heart. I know I'm going to meet him again. I know I'm going to see him again. I know that. I don't know why, but I just know I will through work or something. And I just want to buy the geezer a massive pint.
Yeah, yeah.
And just say, thank you so much, love. Like, that was a moment. He's what a babe. What a man. He's a god amongst men.
That's absolutely brilliant, isn't it? Yeah, oh, brilliant. Lauren, well, it's such a great story. And I was going to cover it on the episode today. And I just thought, well, hold on a minute. You know, I know Will. I'm sure we could get hold of you somehow. So I'm so pleased that I got to speak to you, mate. And, you know, I love the work you do. I think it's absolutely brilliant. And, you know, and as I say, you know, it's very much inspired what I do in terms of, well, hold on, it's not just about the memories. Let's actually find out about real people's stories as well. And so having those guys that have had cancer and, you know, and come through it as well, that's been a big part of it. And we've done, you know, fundraisers for cancer and stuff. So look, so if people want to find you, what's the best way the kids can find you online and find the podcast?
So if you want to find the podcast, you can find it in all the good podcast places. Just search You, Me and the Big C, or you can get it on BBC Sounds, or you can get it on bbc.co.uk/YouMeBigC. And if you want to find me, I'm on Instagram at I am Lauren Mahon, that's MAHON, and then at Girl VS Cancer, which is my brand and my cancer work.
Perfect. Lauren, thank you so much for your time, mate. And
thank you so much.
That's absolutely brilliant.
Thanks, darling.
So I hope you guys enjoyed that, and thank you very much to Lauren for coming on and doing the podcast. It was greatly appreciated. As she said there, do make sure you're following her and go and check out that podcast, You, Me and the Big C. It's a really great piece of work that they do, and it's a very entertaining show. And I think anyone that's experienced cancer, whether it's themselves or with a loved one, it's a really great and useful show to sort of help talk through a lot of those thoughts and feelings, plus also the facts of what's actually going on in that world. So definitely worth checking out. And and cancer is something that's touched our sort of Oasis podcast family here. You know, we talked about Brandon Arend, we had that great interview with him surviving testicular cancer, and also Adrian Connerboy, who survived brain cancer. So any of those, if you've missed out on those episodes, I'll link them below, because they're both really interesting and really worth listening to. So make sure you go and check those out. And look, if illness or cancer or something like that has affected your life, and Oasis has been there for you in any sort of way, or the Gallagher brothers has somehow helped you through it, then get in touch, because I'm always interested in those sort of those stories. It's great to hear about the people that were physically there making the records, but it's also if there was a particular story about how a certain song got you through a certain difficult time or something like that. You know, I love that, and people love to hear those stories. So if that's you, get in touch. All right, so the guys have been doing a little bit more promotion and things like that. Liam Gallagher did a video for Radio X that was kind of like it's very similar to videos for, I think it's Wired, is another channel that does that, which is like the most Googled questions, which I think is pretty much a rip-off of that other video channel. But anyway, that was relatively entertaining, so let's have a little bit.
All right, my name's Liam Gallagher, and I'm going to be answering my most Googled questions. What is Liam Gallagher's real name? God, don't forget it. Why does Liam Gallagher wear a parka? Because it makes me look cool. What is Liam Gallagher wearing? I'm wearing a parka, as per usual. I'm wearing a pair of jeans and a pair of pretty green kind of deserty boots. Will Liam Gallagher tour in 2019? Of course, there's nothing else to do. Starting a tour, and he'll probably tour in November, proper tour. Why does Liam Gallagher say "as you were"? Because I know it annoys certain people. Why does Liam Gallagher stand like that? Interesting. Don't know, man, I just reckon I've stood like this. Man, how else are you meant to stand? You meant to just stand how you meant to stand. Why does Liam Gallagher sing like that? Because it makes me loads of money and people love it.
Okay, so just generally picking up on Liam's most recent couple of live shows then. So he did this one at the Eden Sessions. And once again, it was kind of mixed reviews, I think, from what I'd heard, that apparently like the atmosphere wasn't that great. Maybe it's sort of Eden Sessions isn't particularly your most, you know, down in Cornwall, it's much more of a chilled out place. You're maybe not going to get the same atmosphere as you would in Manchester or Glasgow or Belfast or something. But and Liam also apologized on Twitter for the sound. The sound was pretty ropey. But yeah, generally I've had a few messages from people saying they absolutely loved it and thought it was a great show anyway, but there you go. And then the Glastonbury one, so this is always tricky now, because with Glastonbury it is broadcast live on TV, and you're never, it's always difficult to completely replicate the live sound into TV, and there has been some criticism, especially of the guitar. I've noticed a few people sort of saying that the guitar sounded off, especially at cigarettes and alcohol and things like that. And I definitely heard that. The band doesn't sound great. We've often criticised Liam's sort of live band, but I did think it sounded a little bit off, to be honest, watching it on TV. It was cool to see Andrew Wyatt. It was good to get him on stage, and he was playing along with The River, which is a song that he's co-written, so I think that made sense. I think he added a little bit to the sound as well. It was a shame we didn't have Bonehead there, but I think it's a hell of a trek for Bonehead to get down there just to go on for a couple of songs. Yeah, Liam's voice was a bit ropey at times, I think. There was a couple of songs. It tended to be the As You Were songs, actually. I think that when Liam writes songs himself, he often writes them quite high. Maybe if he's sitting there playing them himself. Like, I'm Out of Time is very high. You know, Bold, Universal Gleam, these have got quite high notes in them. And I think it's that when he's writing for himself, maybe he's sat there singing to himself, and he will... he doesn't necessarily think about doing it live. And then so when he, whereas if it's like Noel writing for him or one of his army of songwriters writing for him, they'd maybe take more into account his range. He did sound a bit ropey on a couple of them, especially Bold and Universal Gleam. He was just missing the notes by quite a bit. It did sound a little bit off, but, you know, ultimately, who cares? You know, it was fine. It was a great performance. We don't go and see Liam for the note perfect singing. We were there really for the attitude and the excitement of Liam being there. And he delivered as he always does. So I thought it was a really, really good performance with you know, caveat, few of those technical hitches. And actually, there's a really good review our friend Mild-Mannered Max wrote. If you go to Mild-Mannered Max's Twitter or website, then head over there. He wrote a really good review of Liam at Glastonbury. One other news bit I just wanted to touch upon, actually, is talking to another good friend of the podcast, is Louise from StopCryingYourHeartOut.com did a fantastic article. She kind of bigs me up on it as well, which is nice. But yeah, she goes through every recorded Oasis song A to Z, so similar to we do on the A to Z feature here, but it just tends to be her thoughts. It's not really a technical breakdown like we do here. It's much more her thoughts on the songs, her opinions, her emotions, how they make her feel, what memories she has attached to them. So that's really good. So that's definitely worth a read, and it's a hell of a piece of work. I know she works on it for quite a long time, so yeah, go and check that out.
All right, so I'm picking up this again now a couple of days later, and just wanted to touch on some news that's been driven by Twitter, because Noel Gallagher did a tweet. Let's just take it back a step and unpack this. So Sarah, Noel's wife, did an Instagram post a few days ago saying, Murky killed it, what a fucking dude, mesmerizing, hashtag Stormzy. Talking about Stormzy playing Glastonbury. And then Gordon, James Gordon, said, staying for Liam's set? And Sarah replied and said, think I'm going to swerve that. The fat twat doing his tribute act, balancing a tambourine in his head, is going to look pretty dated after Stormzy. Right. And then Noel's tweet is what looks like a WhatsApp message from Liam to Anais saying, quoting that Instagram message and saying, tell your stepmom to be very careful. Then the second picture in the tweet is, it looks like a message to Liam from Noel, and he says, so you're sending threatening messages via my teenage daughter now, are you? You always were good at intimidating women though, eh? What are you planning on doing anyway? Grabbing my wife by the throat to show her who's boss, or maybe trying to waddle through our double gates and performing shit wave in the communal garden, or daubing your wank lyrics on the toilet walls? If I wake up to find one of the kids' gerbils upside down on the cheese board with a knife in it, I'll be sure to inform the local care and the community officer. And don't try and kidnap the cat either. We've just employed Ross Kemp as his close protection officer. Enjoy the summer, big tits, catch up soon. So that was, that was Noel's response. And then Liam tweeted out then later on that day, my sincere apologies to my beautiful mum, Peggy, and my lovely niece, Anais, for getting caught up in all of this childish behaviour. I love you both dearly, LG. And then he also tweeted then today, since when is telling somebody to be careful worse than wishing someone dropped dead or hoping someone dies of AIDS? Let's get things into perspective. Wishing you all love and light, LG, which I think is a reference to Sarah that had said in another message that she hoped Liam dropped dead. So it's just all this unpleasant stuff. I'm not really going to comment one way or the other. It's all pretty much self-evident what's out there. And then I know a lot of people in their responses online have favoured one side or the other. Thought that whole game I just find extremely boring. I'm not really interested. I kind of find it a bit entertaining. I think it's a bit sad. The whole thing is a bit sad. But hey, look, it is what it is. This has been going on for 25 years, and just the difference now is it is on social media and there's kids involved. That's the only difference. But anyway, so in other Twitter news, Liam has also tweeted out a bunch of random words and phrases today, so we are assuming that is the list of song titles for the album. It goes like this: Gone, The River, Meadow, All Right Now, Be Still, Why Me, Why Not, Halo, Now That I Found You, Once, One of Us, Shockwave. So, yeah, interesting titles, I think. Obviously, we're already aware of Shockwave, Once, and The River. One of Us sounds a bit like Two of Us by the Beatles. Now That I Found You sounds a bit like Baby, Now That I Found You by the Foundations. Halo, isn't that a Beyoncé song, I think? Be Still, All Right Now, sounds like All Right Now by Free, Meadow, Gone. Yeah, strange titles. They don't grab me immediately, but yeah, I suppose it's hard to tell a song title by the name. So anyway, we shall see how they all come out. But yes, anyway, so that's it from this bit of news. Let's go into some of your contributions. So we've had a message here from Michael Lee, and this is reviewing Noel's recent gig at Exeter.
Hello, James. It's Michael Lee, long-time listener, only second-time contributor, which is a bit slack, I admit. Going to be here with my inane ramblings about Noel's gig at Powderham Castle in Exeter on Sunday. I think I'll rush through the support bands I saw. I missed the first bit of the Blinders, but absolutely loved them. Their debut last year, I think it came out, was really impressive. I've listened to that a lot anyway. On stage, they're raucous, lots of energy. The sound is loud and dirty sounding, which is something I love. Yeah, I really hope to catch them in a small venue soon, because I think that'll be a pretty special moment. Not so good for Reverend and the Makers, I'll admit. I don't really know much about their material, apart from the hit that everyone knows, I suppose. They've never grabbed me, and I think I just remain indifferent to them after seeing them. They weren't helped by a complete technical failure where the only noise coming out was really a foggy bass line, I guess, what you could call it. Couldn't hear the vocals, couldn't hear the tunes. They were just on stage, almost like miming to themselves. It was sorted after two or three songs, and the sound still wasn't brilliant. But maybe another day they'll win me over. But to me, it just felt like music from 1991, which is fine if it was made in 1991, but they're just something I don't get. The last support, the Charlatans, were about in 1991, obviously, but the thing about them, they do continuously evolve, I suppose, and what's frightening, I only worked this out the other day, the last time I saw them was in 1999 for the Us Only tour. And that's an awesome album. Anyone who disagrees, that's an awesome album. I don't remember Tim dancing like he does nowadays back then, but the important thing is he's clearly loving it. He's clearly in the moment. He's clearly enjoying it. And that comes across, I think, with the crowd who are singing along. They played pretty much the hits. They played Weirdo, Just When You're Thinking Things Over, Sproxton Green, the only one I know. With two or three, I think it was, two or three more recent songs. But Sunny Day, the Charlatans playing, it's nothing to complain about. They're really good. And Tim's voice held up, which sometimes it doesn't, to be fair, from footage I've seen. I think in indoor gigs it doesn't matter so much, but outdoor it really held up. As for Noel, the highlights for me in his solo work is Holy Mountain and She Taught Me How to Fly, which I absolutely love. And I think I've heard people saying Black Star Dancing isn't coming across well live, but it sounded really great to me, especially that guitar solo, which I love. It's proved to be a grower for me. When did it come out? About a month ago. I don't know. I just didn't understand why people thought it was a change of direction. He's released similar stuff like this before, with a bit of a dancey groove, a bit of a bass line. What a Life is an example, I guess. Ballad of the Mighty J, that kind of thing. He's kind of done it before. Maybe it's less guitar based, but I've no complaints about that. I think it's really good. What else did he do? Just looking at the set list now. Everybody's on the Run. Absolutely love that song, and it was massive live. Dead in the Water knocks me sideways every time. It's just a beautiful song, and with the crowd singing along, and just the whole atmosphere, and a beautiful day, sun setting. It was just perfect. The set was almost in two halves, which was surprised me. Pretty much the first half was his solo stuff. Second half was, from what I recall, like pretty much all Oasis. I guess even Noel thinks he has to compromise for what is essentially a big outdoor event. And so he probably feels he has to play more Oasis songs than he would normally. Even though it is his own show, it's more of a festival day. Little by little continues to get the crowd going. But I don't know. I think I was more taken by surprises. My heart raced when certain songs started that I wasn't expecting, like Whatever and The Master Plan, and they were one after the other, and that just ended me almost. Well, it didn't end me, I'm here. But loved it. Stop Crying Your Heart Out is a song I've never had much of a affinity to over the years. It's never really been on my radar. But after this gig, it's definitely on my radar. It was just, it's sad yet euphoric. And I think Noel sings it better. Yeah, I said it. I went there. I think Noel sings it better. A couple of minor quibbles. There wasn't any banter from Noel, literally none at all, not even taking the piss out of the West Country or anything like that, which is disappointing because we like being assaulted down here. And the sound could have been a bit louder, but I think most gig sounds should be a bit louder, so that's just me. I'm a deaf man, deaf middle-aged man, so I think that's all I can put that down to. But overall, just a really great night, amazing sing-alongs, one of those real feel-good gigs that you walk away from going, wow. Noel, beer, sun, it was just brilliant. And the High Flying Birds as a band, I think as musicians, they're just getting better and better. Hopefully he will release an album soon, who knows? He's obviously recording stuff. Whether that's going to be this year or next year, but can't wait to see him again. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that, Michael. Greatly appreciated. Now, let's move on to Carry Us All. So, as this is the Oasis A to Z feature, if you've never heard this before, what we do is we are going through every Oasis song recorded from A to Z, well, actually from brackets to Y, and we're going through and breaking them all down individually. Now, we talked a lot about the lyrics of Carry Us All with Colin Hassard on an episode a few weeks ago, so if you want to check that out, go and check that out. I will link it below, but let's just focus initially on what you guys have to say about it on my Twitter poll. And we've got a fantastic contribution coming up from Khan Might Say, who's broken it all down. So we'll get to that in a bit after we've seen what you guys had to say. So, very interesting here. So 5 out of 5 got 26%, 4 got 25%, 3 got 34%, and 2 got 15%. So very even split, and it's averaged out just, about 3.5. And let's see your comments. So Richard Bowes said, good melody. Excellent lyrics on the chorus. Yet again, why wasn't it on the parent album? Interesting that Noel sang only one less song than Liam in that era, the last full Noel-written period, the beginning of his writing songs mainly for himself rather than Liam to sing. Terry Appleby said, quality B-side with great lyrics from what is for me the greatest era of Oasis. There's something special about Standing on the Shoulder of Giants. The line, but faith in any god is going to bury us all, is brilliant. Johnny Diebolt said, proper recording and better production makes this song a 5, but it's a 3.5. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think I talked about it a bit with Colin, but yeah, I was really disappointed that, you know, having heard it originally on that demo, that then when the final version came out, it just seemed like pretty much lackluster and the same and not really a big step up. So Amy F Spot said, gave it a 3. I wouldn't skip it, and the melody gets stuck in my head, so it's a bit earwormy. No idea what the lyrics are other than the title and something about a tin pot revolution, maybe. I like it fine. Dan Best said, amazing. Trevor Duncan said, like the chorus and drums. As always from that time, underrated song from an underrated era of the band. Still would love a deluxe edition with all the B-sides compiled. That sounds like a good idea. Something we've worked on before, and I think we'll do it as like a maybe as a roundtable event or as a call-in episode or something, would be Master Plan Part 2, collating all the rest of the B-sides. I think that'd be good. Stop Crying Your Heart Out, Louis said, really like the songs like this from the Standing on the Shoulder of Giants era. Decent B-side, I will give it a 3. The Sunday Morning Call single was the first to feature Noel on lead vocals on every track. On first listen, I thought he sang No One's Gonna Fight in a Tampon Revolution instead of Ten Bob. Yes, Tampon Revolution. At Lila95 said, I went for 5. Daniel Cadet said, after all, Oasis did carry us all on a fantastic journey. Solid 3 from me. It's a good, solid B-side. Damien said, one of my favourite B-sides, criminally underrated. Supernova Dragon said, a very solid 4 from me. Some of Noel's best lyrics from what I personally think is Noel's best time lyrically. Wish it were done live more, as I think it's such an underrated and understated song. Noel's vocals are very much suited to this and could easily have been on the album. The Wheel of Doom said, easily one of the best songs from the Standing on the Shoulder of Giants era and better than Noel's blah blah songs like Sunday Morning Call and Where Did It All Go Wrong. Beautiful song and great lyrics. Steve Mahoney said, hate it, sorry, encapsulates all the worst elements of Noel in this era. Terrible attempt at a philosophical, grandiose lyric, badly sung, whiny, cringy, also tries to mask a bad song in masses of production, bridges and key changes, one for the organ at the very end, cheers. And Peter Bennett said, couldn't agree more. AKA Noel Gallagher said, the kind of song Noel Gallagher can write in his sleep. A lot of bands would die for an A-side this good. Great chorus, great chords, great lyrics. One of the forgotten B-sides as it wasn't released in the halcyon days. Love rediscovering this gem. Philly Mess said, I love this one and it reminds me of the very entertaining 2000 Gallagher soap opera that played out in Melody Maker. Yeah, talk about soap operas, eh? I bought the single towards the end of the year, a few months after it was released, but this song instantly became one of my favourites, featuring on many mixtapes. We Are DNA said, semi-acoustic slow burner from Noel. It's the most political Oasis track to date, taking aim at religion and political movements in general, really. It's decent musically, better than most of the Standing on the Shoulder of Giants B-sides. It's a 7 out of 10 from me, or a 4 out of 5 here. Better than Columbia? Yep. Clarky said, 3 out of 5, still a very good song. Nice to play on guitar. Lyrics are good. He has something to say. Would rather listen to this than most modern music. Very good point. Flemo says, another could have been a classic. Still remember hearing the Giants demo. Just a shame it wasn't a tune saved up for Oasis Mark II with Gem and Andy playing on it. Should have been okay, Standing on the Shoulder of Giants. The Years said, average, and if you ask Noel, I bet he'd agree. Hate the drum sound that was overused in this era, drumming in an underground sewer. Works for Roll It Over, but ruins songs like Sunday Morning Call. Imagine he wrote the verse, bridge and chorus separately, then forced them together. Ali Stewart said, love the demo when I first heard it, and while still a solid 3 out of 5 for me, it lost its rawness in the final production. Just Noel and an acoustic guitar would have lifted it to 4. Hippie says, a 5 out of 5 for me. I think it's a great song. The melody and the lyrics are bang on, puzzles me why it didn't make it to the final cut for the album. Love the line, "No one's going to fight in a 10 bob revolution." Another great song from a prolific and consistently great songwriter. Make sure you're following the hashtag OasisA2Z so you don't miss out on these. When I put them up, I put them up for sort of 7 days so you can vote and comment for the 7 days. So I know some people say, oh, I tried to vote and it was finished. So yeah, you've got to keep an eye on that hashtag. Keep an eye on my Twitter and you won't miss this stuff. Anyway, right, as I said, we've had a really good breakdown from Khan Might Say. So we will go over to that now and I will see you on the other side.
Hi, Imran here, better known as Khan Might Say. That is the beginning of Carry Us All, which, as you dedicated and knowledgeable Oasis fans know, is the B-side to Sunday Morning Call. I'm just going to talk about the chords and a bit of the musicality in the song. So, it's in the key of C major. The that intro, the chords are basically D minor 7 and G. This first chord, that's actually D minor. It's played like with an open D string and then 7th fret G, 6th fret B string, and 5th fret on the E string, the top E string. But then the 7th comes in with the note just before it goes to the G. So this is that chord, D minor. And then with this, that is just going from on the B string, 5th and 6th fret. And then this note, that is the 5th fret on the G string, which is what makes it the 7th, because that note is a C. And if you're in D minor and you add a C to it, it makes it a 7th. So it's D minor 7th, essentially. So, and then G, which is basically a bar chord. I play it as a bar chord at the 3rd fret because that is what it sounds like it is on the recording, as opposed to a G in 3rd position. So not that, this. Also, it sounds like in the recording, it sounds like it's actually one guitar track is doing this. And then there's a separate guitar track. I think they record it separately. That, because you can still hear that chord hanging when it goes back to. You can still hear, especially this, and all the harmonics. Just something that I picked up listening to it. But then essentially in the verse, the chord is D minor 7, so playing in 3rd position, that's the chord. It's the get off your high horse lady chord, which I know is not the most popular song amongst fans. I love it. I think it's bloody great. Anyway, that's a different conversation. But yeah, so D minor 7, which is open D string, and then 2nd fret on the G string, and the 1st fret on both the B and the top E string. So whisper on my radio, and then G. I paid no mind, I just sat back and I let it go. And then the next bit, so the rest of the song is quite simple, so no kind of fancy sevenths or anything really. It's basically F, G, so they got me running in and out of time. F, G, then C, B minor, add 11, sharp 5. I don't know about the sharp, but it's the hash so sign. B minor add 11. We'll just call it that. So F, G, C, B minor add 11, A minor. like a bona fide. Then again, F a right or wrong G. And I've known all along. So this chord, that is D, but it's not the D minor seventh that we had in the verse. It's technically D5. When D5 just plays, it's like a power chord, but it's not played as a power chord, but it's third position, which is open D string, second fret G string, third fret B string. It's called D5 because essentially you're playing the root note, the perfect fifth, and then the root note again an octave higher. Third position. You're not playing this E. That's you don't play that. It's not that chord. It's just D5. And I've known all along. F. Just make it clear. G. And the chorus is C. Then C. B minor at 11. A minor. And then this chord is really good. It's just B flat. Which doesn't quite conventionally go in the C major scale, but you do hear it quite often in songs in this scale. But he puts that chord in there. So everybody's going for a quick shot. B minor at 11, A minor, B flat, then a F, G, A minor, F, then a C, B minor at 11, A minor. Oh yeah, B flat, sorry, I didn't say, is the 6th fret bar chord, or you can do 1st fret on the A string, playing an A shape. F, G, A minor, G, D minor 7th. And then the guitar, electric guitar, goes... which is just B, 2nd fret on the A string, going to C, pull, what's it called? Hammer on to C. And then pull off C, B, then to A, open A, and then open D. And then in the second time the chorus comes round, it goes, in the bit where it goes, carry a soul, carry a soul, that's D5 again, carry a soul, and G, carry a soul, and then when the R's come in, by simply making the D a major, the song changes key into G major. Those three chords are D, F, G. Sounds a bit like Magic Pie, though. Bits. But it's so subtle because the D's already there just before it changes key. D, it goes D5G, D5G. But just by making it a major, it's a subtle key change. And then when it goes back into the key of C major for the chorus... for a quick surefire solution, same chords before, it gives the illusion that it's gone up a key, so it's that sort of false key change that he did a lot in this. Well, I don't know if it's a lot. I can only actually think of one other example, which is Go Let It Out, at the end, where the whistle blows and then Go Let It Out, and going back to the chorus, it sounds like, oh, the song's kind of like gone up a notch and gone up a level. Oh, maybe it's gone up a key. And I always think, has it gone up a key? And no, it hasn't. It's the same key. It's just it's an illusion. In terms of the other instruments and musicality in it, there's this sort of atmospheric, I don't know if it's on a keyboard with an effect or guitar, but this sort of kind of sounds like an effect that's being different frequencies are coming out of it. So it's like an EQ maybe is being scanned, and I don't really know how to describe it, but there's an effect in the background. Then there's like lots of guitars, Alan White's drumming, which I really like on this song. Pretty stock standard Alan White. The lyrics I won't talk about because James is going to do that. But Noel's vocal, I've always felt, really love the verse and the bridge. But I've always felt that he's kind of shouting. Everybody fight for a quick job, bad solution. I always felt that in that bit of the melody, it's just a little, he's straining a little bit. He's trying to reach notes, he's kind of shouting a little bit. But apart from that, I think it's a very solid vocal, and the lyrics are pretty cool as well. That is my breakdown of Carry Us All. I hope you learned something about music in general and songs and songwriting, as well as how to play Carry Us All. If you want more covers of Liam and Noel stuff and Oasis stuff, go to my channel, Khan Might Say, on YouTube. I've also got my original songs that I've written on there. I've put 7 on there now, and they're all nothing short of absolutely phenomenal. So check it out on YouTube. Khan Might Say.
Well done. Thank you very much, Khan Might Say, and good plugging in at the end there. Very good. Very impressive. But yeah, let's just pick up on a couple of those points from Carry Us All. Yeah, it's a funny one. When you listen to the song, it sounds quite simple. You know, I would have guessed it was sort of a 3 or 4 chord sort of tune, but actually, you know, there is quite a lot going on. It sort of changes around, and as you said, are quite a few key changes. This final recorded version is just a bit weird to me. You know, it's like they've taken a demo version, and then, yeah, I think there's a couple of bits, like I think a couple of people commented, and Khan might say mentioned it as well, where the Noel's vocal in the chorus sort of feels a bit forced. I think when he sings Solution, it's a little bit out of tune there, which I think is a bit strange. And there's just those little bits, isn't there? Like there's that one little bit of guitar in that second chorus, that where was that in the rest of the song? You know, that's just weird. And then that organ right at the end, burp, where was that in the rest of the song? It's just such a strange tune. And I can only think that it's like he's gone in and kind of recorded it and sort of got halfway through and then thought that'll do, or that it was cut for time, or I don't know. It's just a bit strange. As I said, I think the underlying basics of the song are really good, and it could have been a master plan level if you think about the way the lyrics are so good and how the chords change and are interesting and stuff. I think it could have been like as good as that if they've really gone to work on it. But yeah, as I say, it doesn't. It just feels like, from what was a very good original song, that it was just like, okay, we need another B-side for Sunday Morning Call. Right, come on, just knock that one together, that'll do, kind of thing. So, a bit of a shame. It's one of those I can imagine like someone could do a really, really good cover version of. So, yeah, anyway, there's the gauntlet. So, let's just cover off the couple of things we always talk about when we do these A to Zs. The actual playing on it, it's just Noel Gallagher, lead vocals, acoustic guitar, electric guitars, bass, keyboards, mellotron, synthesizer, and Alan White on drums and tambourine, which is pretty impressive. Noel basically played everything except the drums. So yeah, very impressive by Noel there. And the Sunday Morning Call single, when it came out, got to number 4 in the charts in the UK. And should it have been a single, should have been on the album? I think there could have been a place for this on the album. And if we have a look at the the track listing of Standing on the Shoulder of Giants, I mean, the first thing to say is there's only 10 songs, which feels a little bit tight. And especially when you had some really good songs around that era, in the most obvious one being Let's All Make Believe, then really, I mean, that should have made the album. And I can see Carry Us All making the album. I suppose the only tricky thing is you don't want too many Noel vocals on the album. And you've already got Where Did It All Go Wrong and Sunday Morning Call there. So to have another Noel vocal on, we then pushing it a little bit too Noel heavy, maybe. So yeah, maybe as a B-side, to remain as a B-side, or maybe you could fit it in there, possibly drop it, you know, for something like Put Your Money Where Your Mouth Is, or I Can See a Lie, which aren't particularly strong songs. So yeah, you could drop them, I suppose. But in reality, as we said, it's another Noel song, and then you're dropping a Liam song to sort of to get a Noel song in there. So yeah, probably a B-side, to be fair. And in terms of live performance, it's never been performed live, either by Oasis or by Noel solo. And to be honest, I can't imagine it will end up in a live set. I think there's a number of other songs that would be well ahead of it. I know he played Angel Child a few years back, and he does occasionally drop in more obscure tracks, but generally he tends to favour the bigger tracks. If he's going to do an Oasis song, it will generally be a bigger one. So I don't think it's getting pulled out anytime soon. But AKA Noel Gallagher, if you're listening, it might be a good one to include in your set. Right, well, if you have something to say about Carry Us All, if you're shouting at your iPhone right now because we've completely missed the point of the song or something, then please do get in touch. Audio messages are the best to oasispod@gmail.com. So that'll about do it for today. I just wanted to remind everyone of the upcoming live events that we've got. Stop wasting my time. So we have 2nd of August, Starshape Club, O2 Islington in London, where I'm going to be co-hosting with the Magic Mod. That is going to be fantastic. We're going to be doing the Oasis Trivia Showdown as well. So if you want to be involved in that, please do get in touch. Got quite a few names so far, so it's just how we're going to do this, whether we're going to do like a couple of people head to head, or 5 people on stage, or 10 people on stage, or like a Royal Rumble with a bunch of people taking part. I really want to make this fantastic, so do get in touch if you want to be involved with that. 7th of September, An Evening with Alan McGee, which is at Arlington Arts Centre near Newbury. 11th of October, Another Evening with Alan McGee, that's back at the Water Rats in London. And 1st of November, The Oasis Podcast Live with Tony McCarroll, also featuring the Oasis tribute band Columbia, at Stereo in Glasgow. And to get hold of tickets for any of those events, do just head to the description of this episode and you'll be able to grab tickets to all those events. Give me some money. As always, the main thanks has to go to our patrons, and we've had a number of new patrons recently. So let's just give you a name check. We've had Caden, Scott, Matt, Kyle, and Misty. So thank you very much, everyone. And if you would like to become a patron and support the show, please head to patreon.com/oasispod. You can support the show from $1 per month, and for that you will have early access to these episodes, plus bonus episodes, plus the first opportunity to get tickets for gigs, and all kinds of other fantastic stuff. So do head over there and support me. It is greatly appreciated. I'm looking for pound notes, loose change, bad checks, anything. Give me some money. Please follow on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook at Oasis Podcast. Email me oasispod@gmail.com and please subscribe and review on iTunes. Oh, and before we finish, just to say, keep listening after the end credits for a something that was pointed out to me by Katie, Georgiou and by Joel. As ever, stay in touch, stay engaged and stay young.
And you will wake up every morning expecting